Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Red Robin comes bobbing along. Along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
So, your highlight of the season so far? Playoffs, two seasons running. The miracle work of Bowyer and Jackson. Winning at Priestfield for the first time in 39 years. Or Louis Mendes losing his voice. Evening all, this is Charlton Live. Good evening, everybody. This is Charlton Live. You have no idea of the payback that's coming. Louis Mendes away this evening. He's right beside me, so I'm expecting a dig in the ribs fairly regularly. But we're here to talk about the victory at Priestfield Stadium over Gillingham. And joining me in the studio, Louis Mendes is here, but he's not saying anything. Hurrah! But opposite me is Nathan Miller. Nathan, good evening. How are you?
Not bad. Just get my voice back from yesterday. Yeah.
Did you do a bit of screeching? You weren't the only one, apparently.
Yeah, no, I'm good too. Nice to see you back in the studio. Yeah. Hosting, been a while, hasn't it?
I know. I have no idea what to do in the next. I'll probably last 5 minutes, and then we'll have to take. Yeah, then we might have to mime it the rest of the way.
That'd be interesting for the listeners, wouldn't it?
You obviously are far too young to remember our first ever, our last victory at Priestfield.
Yeah, just about
1980. I'm reliably informed.
Seven years before my time, but I didn't know it was that long.
Yeah,
but. Well, it was a good win, wasn't it? It felt like a dead rubber, to be honest. Not really much sort of riding on the game, really. It just had that sort of end of season feel. But 3 points was the main thing.
I think it's. I don't know quite what was the most satisfying. The fact that we went down there and gained the victory. I say the last time we won was 1980. I wasn't there for that one, so I've never seen a victory at Priestfield Stadium either. We've bagged a few draws in our time, but generally, it's a horrible place to go, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I don't know if it's just because we don't win there, I'm not sure, or whether it is just horrible.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were just saying off air, that's one of those grounds for next season. I probably won't be at the front of the queue when they come on sale, I must admit. But it's an old school ground. It's just a bit weird, you know, going into a, which seems to be a stand made of Lego, but that's being complimentary. But yeah, no, it wasn't the greatest of stands, I must admit. Well, at least the rain stayed away, but like I say, I mean, obviously Josh getting his goal which it was his first, wasn't it? And then I thought, I'm sure he scored before, but it was the Donny one, wasn't
Donny
it?
Donny one, and they've refused to give it to him. So that was his first, officially anyway. Whether he's still in his heart, he's still claiming a Donny goal, I'm not sure. But this was technically his first goal. And both goals, I mean, you'll hear anybody who was there will know. Both goals, very similar in build-up. Both started and finished by the same person. Good footballing moves. We did enough, I think. You know, once we'd gone 2-0 up, wouldn't say we switched off. I don't think that's fair, but we controlled it after that.
Yeah, I think we was in control the whole game. I don't think they threatened us that much. I think they had a couple of chances, I think, but nothing really that sort of sticks out. But I think it was a controlled, and I think Bo said it was a perfect away performance, the 2-0. And I think, once we sort of got our noses in front, I thought we controlled the game fairly well. Good couple of forms. I thought Prattley done well. I know he sort of splits opinion with some people, but I thought we had quite a solid game.
I thought it was a great game, actually.
I liked, like we were saying about the goal, the build-up, I did like the first, I think it was the first one, where it was came off Purrington's shins, I think it came off or something. It was one of them. It was like, but yeah, we were clinical yesterday, and the keeper was absolutely huge, so I think both finishes were good.
Well, he kept us out last time, as I remember, single-handedly, pretty much, the last time we were down there. One of the times we were down there. I can't remember how long he's been there now, but he is a huge keeper. And Bay referred to that in the post-match, which we'll hear later. Just to let everybody know, we are Maritime Radio for the first time on 96.5 FM. So if you're listening on Maritime, welcome, as well as the usual streams that we're on. If you want to join us, please do through all the usual methods. We're going to go through the aftermath of yesterday's game. We're going to listen to the highlights very shortly with myself and Greg Stubbley, and then we're going to hear from Bowyer. We're not allowed to hear from Josh yet, are we? So it won't be from Josh, who did the post-match, so keep an eye out for that. That'll be coming later on after the usual news hounds have had their say. But one final thing before we hear the highlights, Nathan. Is it, you know, simply because, you know, we've never won there, that people go down there? Because more often than not, it seems to us anyway that it's the Gillingham's Cup final. They don't have another local derby to get their teeth into, so we're the closest thing. They've got this chip on their shoulder about us bussing in fans long ago, which was all nonsense. But we did do it, but they were our fans anyway. Is it the whole thing that we never win down there, and it's all this attitude of them towards us? What is it?
I don't know. It's difficult, because I mean, if that was their cup final, they didn't seem up for it. There was about 10 people in the stand opposite singing, but apart from that, they didn't really create an atmosphere. I think more or less it's quite a direct route, I think, for a lot of fans, especially
it's one of the easiest vars to get to. Exactly.
So even for me, in Bromley, it's just one train. You can get one from Cholton and Dartford and Bexleyheath and that. So I think it's probably an easier away day, a bit of banter that they think it's their cup final, and like I said, they didn't really turn up. But it's an odd one, though, isn't it?
Got a theory about that, which I'll come to afterwards. But let's, if they're ready, let's hear the highlights from yesterday with Greg Stubbley and some old geezer.
And away for a Charlton throw. Quick one from Lapsley into Cullen. Cullen to his right is Aribo. Aribo up against both Fuller and Charles Cook. Ball into the box to Williams. Great little touch from Williams. Great control. Oh, and he slams the ball over the bar. It's going to be Fuller with the throw. Looked like a foul throw to me, but it's into Campbell. Campbell trying to get past Dick Steele. Does so to shot. Tipped away by Dylan Phillips. A decent effort from Campbell, and it needed the save from Dylan Phillips to keep Gillingham at bay.
To swing it away to the left-hand side, and Perrington has just come off his legs and falls nicely to Aribo, can burst forward. Aribo back to Perrington, crossing opportunity. Perrington ball to the box, it comes to Aribo, shooting chance.
Yes!
Aribo scores! Lovely composure from Aribo. Great football in the first place. Perrington's ball to the box, deflected down to Joe Aribo, and what a lovely cushion finish past Holy to give Charlton the lead.
That's great football from Charlton. Made and finished by Joe Aribo, releasing Perrington down the left-hand side. The cross maybe not been the best in the world after being released by Aribo, but he got the ball in. It came off the back of a Gillingham defender's heel, and it would have been very easy for Joe Aribo to slam that ball first time without thinking, but he took his time, picked his spot with his left foot into the left-hand corner. Charlton had the lead, and a deserved one for me.
Joe Aribo again, his eighth of the season with the corner for Charlton. We've got Saar and Pierce up from the back. Cullen spins it in. Decent delivery. Fetticelli gets a touchdown off the bar. And it's cleared away by Gillingham. I think he hit the bar. Towards Hanlon. Nabi Saar again winning the ball. What a header that is. Comes to Cullen. Cullen allows the space to break forward. Cullen thinking about a shot. Out to the left instead to Williams. Towards the penalty area. Inside the penalty area. Williams onto his right foot. Goes for goal. In a touch. Comes
Cullen!
To Cullen! And Josh Cullen scores his first Charlton goal.
That's great play again on the left-hand side. Williams with the shot. It wasn't well dealt with by Holy. Came back to Josh Cullen, who just slotted into an empty net, and Charlton make it two.
Well, we said before about Josh Cullen, don't score many. He couldn't miss that, could he? That was superb work on first on the right-hand side. Combination of Aribo, Lapsley and Vettacalli, and then the ball's it's almost squirted across to the right. That's great by Nabisar, by the way, to win it back in defence. And then Cullen started the move again, drifted towards the edge of the box, picked out Johnny Williams on the left-hand side. He drilled it across, thought Prattley or Vettacalli rather was going to get a touch on it. It ricocheted off the keeper, who was expecting the Vettacalli touch, straight to Josh Cullen. He drilled it
up left-hand side, and Rebo were able to clear. And there's the half-time whistle as a dominant first 45 minutes for the Addicts finishes at half-time. The two-goal advantage. Dick Steele brings the ball out of defence. That's a good ball forward towards Cullen. Cullen ball forward to Vettacalli. It's an even better ball. Vettacalli closing in on goal. Goes to goal. Saved by Holy. Comes back to Vettacalli. He'll leave it for Aribo. Aribo with Charles Cook behind him. Ball in the box. Comes to Vettacalli. Who shot. Takes the deflection of Aimer out of play for a corner.
Dick Steele to Prattley. That's a lovely ball to Aribo. Aribo takes it past two. Aribo's got Williams down the line. Williams, ball across goal, comes towards Vettacalli, comes to the back to Perrington. Saved by Holy. That's a great save by the keeper. And out of play for a corner. Ben Perrington almost inches away from scoring his first Charlton goal. What a move, though, from the Addicts.
Great piece of football. Comes off Nabisar, and Aribo just dribbles the ball out of danger and ends a lovely switch. What a lovely ball to Albie Morgan, that is. Morgan brings it down. He's got Vettacalli to his right, and further left is Cullen. Cullen looking to take players on. No, he goes left to Joe Rebo, making it into the penalty area. Chip ball back across. Cullen! Diving header to meet the cross. What a perfect goal that would have been. But it's back into the Charlton faithful and the back of the stand.
On it heaves, but
well done, Darren Prattley. And Albie Morgan takes it off him. And that's the final whistle here at the Priestfield. Charlton doing the damage and securing the 3 points in the first half.
So there we are, there the highlights of yesterday's game. And you're right about the coming off Perrington's legs. I'd forgotten about that for the first one. But that first half especially, I thought Joe Rebo was just... I don't know whether or not he just excelled in the fact that he was the main man. Do you know what I mean? I don't know, because he seemed to just be everywhere in that first half.
Yeah, I think because on his day, he's literally unplayable. He is, isn't he? So it's just the way he can glide with the ball, and no one can seem to get it off him. And like you say, he was popping up. Things with Joe, he's obviously been given quite a lot of freedom, and he was popping on the right, on the left, and he's so fluid in his play. I think he's just hard to pick up. If you're a centre midfielder for, you know, for Gillingham or any other team, if you try and man mark him, you ain't going to be able to lace his boots. So, yeah, I mean, and when that's what I mean, it's on his day. I think obviously Pompey was another one that springs to mind. On his day, he's literally so good for this league, and you can understand why people are probably sort of circling with his contract coming up. But but yeah, I think first half he was unreal. And I think Josh Cullen as well, I thought he was everywhere yesterday. I think he was hassling. Because these sort of games, they're easy for people to sort of take the foot off the gas and start swanning about a bit. But
I did think it took us 10 minutes or so, 10 quarter minute to get involved in it. Because I think the way we were set up with the three at the back and the two wing backs, I thought that the players just took a little while to understand where they should be. And there was a huge gap in that middle at one point. There was a big gap between where Joe Rebo were and Josh and Darren Prattley. I just thought it took them a good 5 or 10 minutes to get into it, and there was a lot of space for Gillingham operating in that midfield in the first quarter now. But after that, after they seemed to get used to it, they couldn't touch us. They just didn't live with us at all.
I mean, I think like you say about the three in the middle, is quite. I think Josh and Darren are naturally going to sit quite deep, and then obviously Joe's going to want that licence to go forward. So like you say, exactly, that gap in between, they were probably exploiting a little bit too much. But I thought, I mean, it seemed to me that Regan Charles Cook was getting followed quite a lot, because obviously he's quite influential for him. But yeah, I think after we got, I think we once settled into the game, and obviously Anthony playing on the right side of the right side of a three, obviously Georgie coming in, slotting at a right wing back. Yeah, I think once they started finding their groove a little bit, we started knocking it about, we started growing a bit more confidence, and I think you could tell, obviously, as the half wore on, that obviously was doing very well in that midfield three.
And Josh Cullen getting his first goal. We talked about that just now. It's officially his first goal. But did wonder after he slapped at one about 5 minutes earlier that went into the back of their the home stand.
Yeah.
Not exactly close, put it that way. I just couldn't have been happier for him when he finally got that one on the edge of the 6 yard box. I'm not going to say he couldn't miss because of course you can. Yeah. But there was a fleeting worry. But the fact that he started and finished it in the same way as Joe Rebo did the first goal, I thought was great as well.
Yeah. I don't think he'll be impressed with that header he missed in the second half either. But I
don't think he wanted that.
No. But it's the smallest. Well, he was the smallest on the pitch. But I think everyone was delighted. We ran near me was delighted for him because I think he's one of those players that he sort of epitomises a Bowyer team. So he wasn't giving up. He was even like the 88th minute. He was still hustling and harrying and everyone was delighted that he got his goal because he deserves it. And I think he's been really consistent throughout since he's been in the side. And when he got that injury against it was Walsall, wasn't it? Walsall away when he got the shoulder. I think a lot of people, including myself, I was worried that how we were going to manage with that, and because he does make us tick, especially with obviously Jake being out for the season. So, yeah, I think that delighted for Josh to get that goal because he does definitely deserve it.
You said before about for their cup final, they didn't look up for it at all, Gillingham. And I've got a theory about that, I think, and you can all let me know out there if you agree or think I'm talking nonsense, which I think I know which one you're going for, but in advance. But I think there were two things. One, the fact that they got rid of Steve Lovell the night before, which was bizarre in the extreme. We all thought Steve Evans was going to be on the bench, personally, or at least in the stand, but I didn't see him. And the second one, I think the fact that we had the players out that we had, Lyle Taylor not being there, Christian Bilic, I think we knew about Patrick Bauer not being there. I think Chris Solly obviously suspended. Do you think they might have thought this not going to be as tough as it normally would have been?
Possibly, yeah. I think obviously look, with Lyle missing, I probably think they were looking, oh, we might be able to get a result here. The only worry for me when the team was coming out is how isolated Eagle was going to be. And if he gets marked out of the game by their two centre-halves, they might start and they start to prey on it and try and have a go. But they didn't really have a go. You know,
after Deal saved in the first first quarter of an hour, I think it was, after that saved, I think that was it. That was the last time they really threatened until right at the end, I think.
Mm. I mean, obviously they brought on Tom Eaves, which is going to be a handful. But again, they got down in the channels a few times. But it's very rare I go to an away game and feel really comfortable. I mean, what was the away game before that? I didn't know Oxford.
Not sure anybody can feel comfortable in that away game, to be honest.
That's an odd story, honest.
That's the wrong choice of words.
It's an odd place.
Now, I know this is going to sound really, really twee. I don't mean to say it's going to sound it whether I like it or not. But we've been to a lot of places, and especially in League One. Right now, you guys can tell me at some point or other what your worst ground in League. Maybe we'll do that for another day. But this one's got to be up there. And strangely, because we get treated slightly better, obviously, when we go to some places, because you get into a little room and they have a cup of tea for you or something, and occasionally a pie or a sandwich. Yeah. And Gillingham's no different. And actually, when you go into the place, it's like a set of offices. You have to walk up to about 17 flights of stairs to get there. But even anyway, so it looks all right in comparison to others. But that toilet in there is, and if he could talk, he'd agree with me. I know he would, sitting to my left. It's got to be the worst I've ever seen in my entire. Honestly, you had to see it to believe it. There was an old bowl of soup in the corner.
Huh?
Exactly. There was mould growing on it.
Well,
I'm telling you.
In a tin?
No, in a bowl.
In a bowl?
In a bowl.
So
somebody had taken it in there to finish it, I'm guessing. And not finished it.
And the cleaner just sort of wipes around.
Maybe once they realised it was oxtail, they thought it was a bad idea. I don't know. But
so, what did it taste like anyway?
No, the sandwiches weren't that bad, so I didn't have to. But I'll ask Scoop later. He might know. But comfortably the worst. Anyway, I've digressed a bit. But it just added to the joy in actually getting a victory there, which I have never seen us win there. So I was particularly pleased. The team selection, when you heard about it, did that, as the group going in, you were in with the away fans, with everybody going, what was the talk? Were they, would they think, oh, should we have stayed in the pub?
I think a lot of people sort of knew. I think Bowyer did mention that Christian, Paddy and Lyle were carrying Knox, and I think everyone wasn't that bothered that, not bothered, but they agreed with, not risking Lyle. I don't think anyone foresaw the formation. I think a lot of people were just thinking we were going to go with two left-sided centre-halves and just do the usual, or maybe Johnny playing up with Igor. But yeah, I mean, we set up. I don't think anyone was that concerned, because I think because it was a nothing game and, like I said, a dead rubber. But yeah, I think we were still confident, because that team are still a good team. Yeah, we are missing key players, but for me, it was just ensuring that Igor wasn't isolated and made sure we got people in and around him. Which I think, obviously, Johnny was, you know, flitting in between wings in the first half and trying to get space. But yeah, I don't think it was any concern to anyone around me anyway.
We're going to talk about post this game and next Sunday, Saturday's game at Rochdale a bit later on. So if you want to contact us, we're going to hear from Lee Bowyer shortly. So subjects to talk about and subjects you want to maybe contribute to the show tonight. Bowyer's contract situation, are you worried? I think everybody's worried, but what are your thoughts? You'll hear them in a minute from Lee Bowyer. You may already know about it, but he makes some comments about Tariq Fosu and Mark Marshall. So your thoughts on that after you hear from Lee Bowyer. Who you'd fancy facing in the playoffs is another one. We've obviously had the takeover update from the fans forum. Your thoughts on that? Keep it clean, if you can. The fact that we've had six clean sheets in eight games, is that the form you want to see us going into the playoffs? Does that give you a better feeling going into the playoffs than otherwise? Josh Parker's cameo yesterday, that might be worth a 5-minute chat, I don't know. To do so, you can email us at studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live or post on the Charlton Live forum. We're on there as well. And we are going to talk about the women's game coming up. Great victory for them today at that place. But first of all, before we get into all that, let's hear from the gaffer, Lee Bowyer.
Over the moment of today, I thought it was a real professional away performance. I thought they didn't really cause us many problems. I think the back three were solid, out of possession, and just mopped everything up. And we moved the ball well when we won the ball back. Good to see two midfielders scoring. You know, that's good for us. And to be honest, I think we could have scored a few more as well if we'd have took care. Could have been four or five, I think.
So you're sixth clean sheet in eight games as well. Is there no better form to be heading towards the playoffs with?
No, everyone's working hard, you know, everyone, from back to front. And Igor today, I thought, was very good. His work rate, obviously, against two centre-halves as well. It starts from the front when you're defending. It's good. We're in a good place, you know, and we've got one more game to go in the league, and I think we're in a good place at the moment to ready for the playoffs.
You still might have that chance of finishing fourth and getting the home leg second. Is that something that's on your mind? Is that something you'd like to be able to do?
For me, it doesn't make much difference. Some people say it's better to play at home second, but for me, when I played in the Champions League, some times we played at home first, 1-3-0, and then went away and lost 2-0. So it's just, for me, it doesn't make no difference. It's not going to make that much difference, but we just want to keep winning games and see where we finish, and then we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Encouraging as well today that you're able to win with a couple of important players missing, both Lyle Taylor and Patrick Bowyer. You mentioned during the week they were doubts, so is it just a precaution, nothing too serious to worry about?
Yeah, precautionary. Obviously they've not trained all week, so Lyle said his groin felt a bit better yesterday. And so did Pat with his knee, but it's just not gaining anything by risking them, you know. I've got to look at the bigger picture, and that gives opportunities for others to come in and stake a claim and show that I can trust them when we do come to the playoffs. So, it's just precautionary, yeah.
It's great to see Lewis Page back on the bench today. So long he's been out injured. Will he have a chance as well before the end of the season?
Again, they need minutes. There's another game behind closed doors on Tuesday, so it's going to be. They get 90 into them now. Jake and Pagey will get 90 minutes into them on Tuesday. So, listen, Ben's been outstanding. So outstanding for me. So Pagey, keep working hard, and you just never know. Football's crazy, and you just can't predict what's going to happen.
Charlton's first win at Priestfield since 1980. It's not really considered a rivalry by supporters, but they do travel in their numbers because it's quite a close one, so it's nice to give them that result in the final away day as well.
Yeah, they're outstanding. All season they've been outstanding, home and away, but away to travel and keep supporting the lads like they have, it's I really appreciate it, and so do the players. So yeah, so I'm glad that they've gone home with another victory and singing all the way home, I guess.
Just finally from me, obviously there were quite a lot of changes and quite a young bench, the likes of Alfie Doughty getting his first chance as well. Still no Tariq Fosu and Mark Marshall. Obviously a lot of people would have considered those first team players over the course of the season, but they haven't been featuring at all. Do you think their time at the club is starting to look like it's going to come to an end now?
Well, both of them, their contracts are up in the summer, so I've been watching 23 games of late, and Alfie scored two against Burnley the other week, and I thought he was outstanding. So I thought, oh, do you know what, I'm going to reward him. I spoke to Jason Newell, and said, like, who do you think deserves it more? I watched the Burnley game, and he said, no, Alfie's deserved this chance. So to be in amongst it. Regarding Marshall and Tariq, yeah, their contracts are up, but we'll have to see what happens come the end of the season.
I guess they've got some way to go to get an offer. Is that putting it lightly?
Well, the pair of them have to work hard, you know, and I see them. You've got to remember, I watch training every single day, and that's where a lot of these players get judged, especially the ones that are part of the squad or sub on match days. And if I don't see you working hard and don't see you putting in a shift and I don't see you playing for the team, then you're not going to be involved, because we haven't got this far this season of being a team of individuals. We've got this far because we are a team, and everybody works hard for everybody. So that's what it boils down to.
Thank you. Obviously, with the formation that you picked, it was a bit interesting going five at the back. Do you think that ability to pick a variety of formations is an advantage for you, that it makes it harder for teams to be able to figure you out?
Yeah, because you've got to remember, we haven't really had a full squad all season, but now we have. And so when you do come to difficult places like this, and don't think that this is that they're a bad side, Jim, because they're not. You've got one of the best strikers in the league here, and they've got pace, and they break from midfield. So I thought, you know, I'm just going to stop that threat, and I know what we do when we get the ball, so I know we're going to create chances. But you have to respect the team you're playing. That's every team, and when you've got a full squad, that it obviously helps.
Obviously, just like you said, Tommy's being a massive threat going forward. Were you surprised to see him on the bench? And also with Brandon and Regan Charles Cook being former Charlton players, did you obviously want to stop them as well from, you know, showing the fact that, you know, they could be a massive threat against their own club?
Yeah, obviously when you play against an old side, then you want to try and impress and prove people wrong for letting them go, if you like. So I knew they're going to be a threat. Obviously, I wasn't that surprised that Eves wasn't playing, because I don't think he started the last game either, and obviously he's leaving in the summer. So maybe they're looking at what they've got for next season. I don't know, but they're a threat. Like, they've got loads of pace. You had the front two, pace, the three in midfield, pace, and obviously with the sitter. So we had to be careful, and I wanted to have that spare one, and wanted to play Anthony there, because I don't think there's anyone in the league as quick as him. So I wanted to have that cover. So, yeah.
With now getting back to kind of full fitness with your entire squad, Jake was out for a very long time. Does he feel like a bit of a new signing in the respect that he's obviously coming back and being available for selection? Does he feel like a big boost?
Yeah. Obviously, Jake's been out since pre-season. He got injured in pre-season, and it's great to have him in and around it. He's worked so hard to get back to be part of the squad. So, yeah, he deserves it. He's worked hard, and in training he works hard every day, and he does the right thing. So, yeah, if there is a game where that I need him, I want to be able to be sure that he's ready.
And lastly, looking forward to Rochdale, the last game of the season. In terms of the regular season, would you be looking to put Jake in the starting 11 for that and give other players a chance, or is it a bit too soon for him?
No, I just want to keep winning games. So I'll do what, like I've done here, I'll put out a side that I think will win the game, and that's the way we are. We want to win every game we play. So nothing's going to change next weekend. So I'll pick the side that I think that'll win this little game on Saturday.
Ready to pop the question? Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Momentum has been with Charlton. They've really played well this...
Oh, it's a quickly taken corner into Williams in the penalty area. Chip ball back across. Headed clear. Only as far as Saw. Gets something on it. So does Vedicoli. Oh, cleared away. Maybe Saw again.
Yes! Come on!
This time it was Vedicoli. He got Vedicoli's header. I don't know who it come off in the end. Deflected in, it might have been Williams. I've no idea who that came off last, but it over the outstretched hand of Ramsdale. But it was Vedicoli's header. John McEwen up for the dropping ball, but it took a deflection off of somebody, and it's in the back of the net.
There you go, that was Lee Bowyer talking to the press, including Kermit the Frog, with background vocals provided by Louis Mendes. but Bowyer sounding remarkably chirpy there, which has been something that he's had a bit of stick about from one of his teammates, his old teammates, who has accused him of not being that happy, which Lee Bowyer wasn't overly happy about.
Lee, 4-0 win over Scunthorpe, you must be delighted.
Yep, I'm going to show Brownie. This is for you. I'm absolutely delighted. There was so many positives out of today. Is this good enough for you, Brownie? I'm over the moon.
Yeah, Stevie Brown, ex-colleague, Charlton legend, of course, had been giving Bowes a bit of stick on the radio about him not overly being happy after every post-match. I mean, he is a bit straight-laced, is Lee, generally speaking, but he just wanted to prove a point to Brownie there that when he says he's over the moon, he is actually over the moon. And I'm not going to argue with him.
No. I ain't either. But he's like, he says it as it is, and he maybe doesn't show his emotion as much as others, but listen, I mean, it's doing the job, isn't it? And is it something that he doesn't want his players to see? Maybe, I don't know, but it's like there are even some press conferences, some games this season, you think, oh, he's gonna be really up for it, but yeah, we're all right. Don't know why.
I think what you're doing, though, you know, when he's angry, though, I mean, when he's not angry, then it's a bonus.
Yeah, imagine being in that dressing room if you ain't running around.
I love the fact that he dropped in the fact that I played in the Champions League, you know.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, you've got four in the Champions League, six in the UEFA Cup. So he obviously knows.
It's
knows
a sort
code,
of thing that should command respect, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that and obviously that other on-field issues. But you're not gonna argue with Bowes. If he said you've had a bad game, you just sit there and nod. That's what you're going
to
do.
I'd love to have a chat with him at the end, especially if we gain some success this season. Just to find out, bearing in mind that he always came across a bit of a reluctant manager at first, but he's certainly grown into it, and it looks like he's, I don't know if enjoying is the right word, but he's certainly revelling in it, or seems to be at least.
Well, he's got the bug now, hasn't he? Obviously not the same one that Ben had, but he's... or Maxwell
now, yeah.
He's obviously got a taste of it now, and he seems to be enjoying himself. And long may it continue. So I think obviously we're going back on the contract thing. We just all want it sorted now, really, because he's going to be an attractive proposition for any club, especially if they're going to want to start to build a project in inverted commas. But I said on Thursday, I think even at Championship level, if you've got someone who want to start afresh, even someone like, look at an Ipswich, I know they've got Paul Lambert, but someone like that, if they come calling, if Bowie hasn't been given a good enough offer.
I'd imagine he wouldn't stay in the same league, though, don't you? I mean, if he was going to get a shout and if he was going to have to leave, you'd expect him to want to maybe go a bit higher. I think he thinks he, and quite rightly so, I think, challenge himself at a higher level.
Yeah, I think even when he was here, you know, he was only here for a short while, but he went on to go and do bigger and better things, and that's, he got opportunities to play in Champions League. You don't do that by sitting somewhere because you're comfortable. He obviously likes going outside his comfort zone, and I don't think that him being a manager will change that. But obviously, I think first and foremost, he just wants us to get promoted, get that on his CV, and then try.
Have
and
you
do
noticed
best
though
he can.
With the managers that we've had, and I'm not talking about the network ones.
I'm talking about the
so-called normal managers.
Oh, yeah.
They have that sort of honeymoon period where they go, no. Yeah, no, he's getting support 100% of the time, no problem. Yeah, we talk regularly. Yeah, we're going to do it. And then after a while, reality kicks in. I mean, the last quote that we got from Lebo is, worked hard to improve the football club. It's a much better place now. So I think we should be rewarded for that. It shouldn't have taken until now to try and negotiate something when you've got 10 days left of the normal season.
Yeah.
I mean, that just shows there's a patience running out there, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. And I think, I mean, as well, you know, we're doing great on the pitch, which is obviously there for everyone.
That was
to
in
see.
The South London Press, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, but what we've done on the pitch is plain to see for everyone how great it's been done. But the thing for me that sticks out is how he's managed to sort of galvanise the fans. And it seems, you know, when like in the summer where we had England and it was like a bit of a meh, and then that galvanised and everyone got behind it. It seems like that at the moment. So everyone's, you know, everyone's happy. Like there was yesterday, half of the fans that were there didn't even see the second goal or the second half because they just stand there having drinks. And
I can guarantee that because I know one of them.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. And what him and Jacko have done is galvanise the fan and bring something back and a bit of pride to a lot of fans, even though the stuff upstairs still going on. I think it's absolutely amazing, and that for itself deserves a massive pat on the back. But
we're only one man. Don't bring your dinners in, does it?
No, exactly. Yeah. So we only one man can change that, unfortunately. And we just
and we know who that is.
Yeah.
Ho hum. before we get to the tweets and emails, we're going to get to you shortly and the thread on Charlton Life. Just your take on the Fosu and Marshall situation.
I think it's difficult because I think Marshall for me grafts, and you know I love his attitude, but both of them don't seem to fit in Bowyer's system for me. First and foremost, that's why I would understand that they probably won't play as much. But listen, I mean, the footballers know the game. They, you know, they're not stupid. They've got to work hard, and if they're not in the team, they've got to work double hard to get in the team and improve on the things that they need to do to get into Bowyer's plans. And if you're not, and your contract's up, and you're not out of favour, then you just have to wait and see. But it's difficult because Fosu was coming to the season on a back of a good season, but we were playing in a different way for me. And
I think this started last season. I don't think this is a new thing, if I'm honest. I think last season we had no choice but to play players because of the situation we were in. And he managed to get the best out of the players that we had here and almost done it. I think this season he's had a fresh start at it, a decent run at it, and it's obvious quite early on that if he can afford not to, and he said it in that interview that he picks players on how they perform in training, which I guess is how it should be. Clearly, you know, these guys have already said that they wanted away, I think, or there's no secret that they are, that they do. So you're saying, well, you're not going to be here and you're not putting a shift in, you're not playing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a key for...
Which is a real shame, actually, because we know how good they are, both of them.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people will look at it and, you know, on the face of it, I'll go, you know, well, Fosu could do this and this and this, and Marshall could do this and this and this. But like Bo said in his interview, he sees them every day. None of us see are they pulling their weight. You know, are they just sort of slouching around? I'm not saying they are, of course I'm not, but Bowyer sees it every day. So, and you can't really say that he's wrong because look what he's done. And you look at, I just think if we the way that we play, can I imagine, you know, Fosu doing what Aribo does or doing what Cullen does? No, I can't. But that's not to say he's a bad player, but I just don't, for me, in my opinion, I don't think he suits the way that we play now.
And by the way, maybe he's looking at one eye on the contract talks next season, and he's hoping he's going to be here. But if he's not and we lose some players as well, then the likes of Albie Morgan and George Lepsley are going to be the central part of our midfield next season. So he's got to get the minutes in them.
Exactly, and that's what I mean. And Albie, I thought, done very well against Gunthorpe. I thought he also done well in that home game against Sunderland, which was a big, big call for Bose to make, and he done fine there. Georgie gives you the same every week. He's obviously reliable. And obviously, Alfie coming in the match day, and he said that, you know, Yuli has said that he's deserved it. So we can't have any sort of sympathy at this stage of the season. We just got to play people that are going to get us the job done. And if people are working hard in training, that's how you get rewarded. And with Alfie, the other younger kids that come in through, I mean, obviously Brendan signed a new contract this week. It gives them something to aspire to. So I trust Bose, and if they're not in his plans, they're not in his plans.
Right, first tweet up from David Nichols. Thanks, David. Very confident on the playoffs. If injuries clear up and we have our first team available, it's been written that we'll play Sunderland, Pompey in the next final. Let's less confident on the contracts and takeover front due to Roland, but let's be positive and say promotion will see him go. All fingers crossed. Yeah. And everything else entirely, by the way.
Yeah.
Further on from that next tweet, out of Pompey and Sunderland, this is from Rhys. Thank you, Rhys. Out of Pompey and Sunderland, really, so Sunderland for me, he says. Pompey on the much better form, and Sunderland fans really unhappy at the moment with the way they've blown second. And players will feel the pressure more, although don't fancy the monster journey home from the second leg away if we've lost. That's a fair point. Yeah. We'll come to our thoughts on that in a second. We'll carry on with yours. Kieran's tweeted us in. Thank you, Kieran. Sunderland, just because of the Netflix documentary. That's a good point. Yeah. We could be on it. Probably quite make funny. It better. Ross Ramsey. Thanks, Ross. Would love to face Peterborough. Both games with them this year were incredibly frustrating. Would love to get one over on them. I'm not sure. I don't know whether the Peterborough will make it. And looking at their last game and look at the way the last games are shaping up, a lot will depend on. Is it Tuesday night that both of them playing? I think Sunderland and Portsmouth both playing Tuesday for their game in hand.
I think Sunderland and Fleetwood.
We'll pretty much know, don't I? I would expect. Danny says, this is the first contract that should be sorted. If it wasn't for Bowyer, then God knows where we'd be. And that is a very fair point. And Lana Geezer, thanks, Mike. Sounded like it couldn't have been more comfortable for us yesterday. Looking in great shape for the playoffs. Bo's a tactical genius. Travelling fans have been different class since Christmas. Shame about the idiot who interrupted the minute's silence. Love him to be named and shamed. The only good thing I'd say about that, and you're spot on, by the way, Mike. The only thing I'd say about that, I suppose if there is a good thing to come out of it, is the Charlton fans' reaction to that idiot, as he points out. There were other words. That they he got a bit of a telling off, shall we say, to put it politely and mildly. So good reaction from Charlton fans, because that just didn't need happening. Right, CFC stats and facts and stats. He's doing this out of spite now. There's no other rational reason behind Bo not getting a new deal months ago. You get that sort. There is that sort of vibe, isn't there? He's already come out and said that he doesn't care. It's 2% of his time. Blah, 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 blah. Mm. He's selling. What does it matter? He'll put in the old tosh in front of Bo and hope he signs it. And if he doesn't, that's the real. It's the real fear for me because he doesn't care. He's gone on record as saying.
Yeah, well, and that's the worry, because if you had someone who did care, they would have tied him down ages ago. And I think we briefly spoke about it Thursday, didn't we? So, fingers crossed, everything crossed, I think.
Yeah, indeed. James Fern has tweeted in a good point. I thought he'd throw us in because to big up the skipper who's finished the London Marathon. You've got a bit of news on it, Nathan. It wasn't just the skipper, of course, but Johnny Jackson doing it in, was it just under 4 hours?
Yeah, 3 hours 58, I think, or something like that.
Slouch. Wait till I have a word. I drove in here. I went by a couple of bits of the route just in case he needed picking up.
You still think he was at it?
But he didn't do it alone.
No, Ben done it, didn't he? The sports scientist. Yep. He done it in 3 hours, and I think
that's a
58
time,
seconds.
That's 3 hours.
Yeah, so it weren't. But I mean, well, Mo done it in 2 hours.
There were people still trying to cross the start line 3 hours in.
Yeah, I wouldn't get out of the pub then.
The thing that does that for me, because I was watching the beginning on the telly, obviously, because it's safer. And they do that bit at the beginning at Blackheath, and there's just a small part of you. I remember I did train for it once, or tried to. The second one,
the
in
pub bit,
but it's the bit that where they show you the route.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stop; it just keeps going.
Yeah, and the valley always pops up, doesn't it?
And the valley pops up, and they go, "Oh, and that's halfway." And you go, that's the reason I don't do it.
Ben done it in 3 hours 54. Jacko done it 3 hours 53.
Oh, well done, the pair, by the way.
Which they done. They wanted sub fours. Well, Jacko did anyway. I don't know if Ben was going for sub three, he'd be raging those 54 seconds. But listen, that's an amazing achievement. I'd probably do it in about 3 days.
Exactly, on a bus.
Yeah. Oh, mate, cheers, Bill.
But anybody who did it, if you're a Charlton fan, I mean, everybody who did it, obviously, but if you're a Charlton fan especially, huge congratulations and respect, by the way. Cliff Scales has tweeted us in, comfortable, really, even without Taylor, Bauer and Bielik. Shows what a good squad we have heading into the playoffs in really good form. And that's true, isn't it? And it's in stark contrast to last season, although we hit the playoffs on that decent streak, but you could see that both mentally and physically the squad were exhausted by the time we hit the playoffs last season.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm just looking now, in last 15 we're second in terms of form, last 10 we're second, and last 5 we're second. It's obviously doing really well at the moment, but I think someone said yesterday about the form, I think because of the size of the squad and the way we were playing, and when Bowe's come in, it was like a massive push. Yeah, like you say, towards the end, you could tell he was a bit tired.
Well, he was having to play Fosser, yeah. And Fosser was clearly injured.
Yeah, exactly. And then we have to play, you know, the Saturday, Tuesday, and then we'll come to the playoffs and we look dead on our feet. So this year, he's going to be able to manage it a little bit better, I think, like he did yesterday. And hopefully it'll just keep us fresh for the playoffs, which it looks like it's going to be Sunderland, but I suppose it can all change.
There was something that Bo said to me after speaking to Louis and the other press guys, was that because I asked him about resting players, he clearly had to rest a few because of knocks for the Gillingham game, but I said coming into the Rochdale game, would he consider doing it again? And he said no, if they're fit they'll play, because you get a 2-week break,
yeah.
And a 2-week break with players not playing, you might lose the sharpness. And Igor has trained to work so hard to get to that sharp level. He said you don't want them dropping off that sharpness. And the same with Taylor. If they're fit, they'll play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. I think, like he said, also said, you know, he could rest them, wrap them up in cotton wool for 3 weeks, and then they go training and, you know, trip on a curb or whatever, he said, and then do their ankle. So I can understand if someone is actually injured, but just keep them sharp. And if, you know, what you can do is maybe on Saturday, then, you know, give them 70 minutes and then
drag them off.
Yeah, I mean, you'd rather do that than just rest them, because like you say, you lose sharpness 2 weeks and then it's another week in training. If it takes them 20 minutes to get into the swing of it again, it could be too late.
Yeah, good call. Seb Lewis has tweeted us in relation to Bo not always showing his emotions, Kerbs was quite reserved at times as well, perhaps.
It's a fair point.
He was never a laugher joker, Kerbs, was he, to be fair?
No, I suppose Mervyn done quite a lot of talking on the side.
That's
didn't
also,
Mervyn day?
Also a good point. And Martin tweets in, thanks mate. Don't care who we play in the playoffs, we've had a positive results against all of them, and with our form and we're the ones they won't want to play. As for Fosu and Mark Marshall, it's clearly all about attitude and effort with them. Let's face it, we're not missing them, are we? And he then goes on to say, we all know how good Fosu can be, but agree with Nathan, he just doesn't fit in the Bo's game, and in Bo we trust. So somebody agree with you. Blimey.
I know, gee. I did text him about 2 minutes ago. Say, can you just agree with me, please, once?
But it is a point, isn't it? I mean, he makes a very good point that at the beginning of the run, everybody said, oh, we could do with Fosu now. Oh, wouldn't it be great to have Fosu off the bench? Mark Marshall could add us to something different. I mean, I suppose the only one that you tend not to be able to disagree with is the fact that, you know, poor old Josh Parker isn't exactly lit up the sky when he came on. I mean, he had probably the worst 5-minute cameo I've ever seen when he first came on Saturday. So you get to think, you know, we let the guy who was playing the opposite striker for Gillingham yesterday could have done a job, I think. I still think Reagan Charles Cook would have been worth keeping as well, but that's another story. But hands are tied. You know, I'm loathe to say that criticise anything that Bo does. And it was a sort of that or nothing scenario, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It was ish.
Although I'd be very tempted to, although he's a different player, of course, I'd be ready to, you know, we've got a few returnees from loan. Do we give Hackett Fairchild another go? Although I know he's broke his nose or something while he's been at Bromley.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult with like Rico and stuff because you want him to do well, but he obviously hasn't set the world light. And obviously we sent Carlin out to obviously Crawley and he done really well. Rico's got one, and has he just got the one? He might have got a two maybe, but we are looking very fit on the ground in terms of signings, but we don't know, like with Marshall and Fosu, we don't know how much they're on. You know, it could be anything. He might want to free up wages, he they might have already done some recruitment already. We never know.
But the hope is we got certainly one game, three games left. Hopefully more. Hopefully four games left of the season. We keep the current squad fit, then it's irrelevant. We don't need fringe players.
Exactly.
Fingers crossed and all that. We'll get to everybody's views. I mean, we mentioned about the Fosu and Marshall situation. Who do you want to play in the playoffs? No?
I would rather.
I think you'll get exactly the same reaction from every single chance.
Yeah, I want to avoid Portsmouth because of the form, but then again, I don't really fancy a long old trek up to Newcastle again, even though we're going to fly out there. We were talking about it yesterday. But
will we?
Yeah, I know. Me and Tom. Me and Tom are going to fly up there from Heathrow.
Money,
but,
carry bags.
Yeah, to be fair, I think. I always go, oh, I'd rather play this, but I'm now thinking, no matter what, if you're going to want to go up, I'm going to have to beat two of them. So whoever it is...
It is what it is.
It is what it is, yeah, in the famous words of both. But the only thing is, I just don't want to go to Sunderland and have like 40-odd fans.
Well, let me turn that round a little bit then, because I tend to agree with Martin. It doesn't matter who we play. We've still got to beat whoever it is. And when you consider, apart from perhaps Doncaster, who are sixth, or whoever ends up sixth, the other teams are going to be good teams, right? So it's either going to be Barnsley, possibly even Luton still. it's mad. Portsmouth or Sunderland. Now, none of them are... I mean, last season when we went into Shrewsbury, wasn't it? That everybody thought, oh, Shrewsbury, doable. Mm. I think there's not that feeling this time around. It's going to be a tough game, whoever we play. So let's forget about that. Whoever we've got to play, we've got to play really well to beat them. Moreover... Does it matter home or away first for you?
It's hard because I think if we were playing... Right, so again, if we were playing Sunderland, I wouldn't want to go to the Stadium of Light on a second leg if it's in the balance because of the 40-odd thousand they'll get.
But that could work against them as well
as it
does
for because of the pressure.
So more so than Portsmouth, I'd say.
That's what I mean. So thinking that I wouldn't say it matters. I'd like us to be at home second leg just so you can have a bit more... Maybe you'd think that you'd have more of an influence in the covered end, but listen, it's going to be tight either way, isn't it? So I don't know. It's hard.
it's horrible, what I mean.
I'm going I'll give you an answer, and I'm like, actually, maybe not. So like, I'm so indecisive, or am I? I don't know. You know.
I think we've got to go by the. It doesn't matter. Whatever hands dealt us, then we've just got to go with it.
100%.
And I think we're in a position now, personally, where look. If you'd have told me beginning of the season that we go to Priestfield and win, if you'd have told me at the beginning of the season we'd go to AFC Wimbledon and get, do you know what I mean? All the things we've done this season, almost I wouldn't say broken every hoodoo, but we've done things this season that you wouldn't normally expect to happen. So I think I don't think we should fear anybody. Just go and let's just go and do them.
Yeah,
both home and away.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Do I believe that myself? Probably not.
I say that just before you go live on comms, and then we'll ask you the same question.
So we'll continue reading your tweets and emails very shortly. We'll also come back. We're going to talk about the women winning at that place this afternoon, which was a great result for them. But back in a bit.
Switch across to left-hand side, and Perrington's a good one. Bielik looks okay for the time being. Perrington looking to try and look to take on Thompson. Instead goes back inside to Cullen. Needs a little bit of support. He turns, works a bit of space for a cross. Cullen, ball into the box, finds Aribo!
One, Joe Aribo with a superb goal. Turn inside the penalty area. His shot went across the face of goal, and McGilvery didn't even go for it in the end. It's past him and into the back of the net, and Charlton just before half time had the lead.
Right, you're still listening to Charlton Live on Marathon Radio here on a Sunday evening, live from the Valley. We're asking for your opinions on all things Charlton. The game yesterday, of course. Excuse me, I'm catching Louis' disease. I wonder if it is catching, because he is quite close. Do you know what I mean? Lucky there's no webcam. What's your thoughts on the Bowyer contract situation? Bowyer's Fosu and Marshall comments as well. Who do you want to play in the playoffs? Are you bothered whether it's home or away first? What are your thoughts on the takeover update? I'm not sure we should call it update anymore. We should call it something else. Nonsense? Garbage?
Bore update or something. I don't know.
Oh, dear. It's on Sky, you know. It must be true.
Oh, it must be true, yeah. Journalism at its best.
And anything else, Josh Parker, his cameo. What would be your lineup for the play? Would you rest players for this coming Saturday against Rochdale just to keep them for the playoffs? What are your thoughts on all those things? But going to your emails, we've had an email from Daniel Farmer. Game was okay yesterday, nothing special. Good 3 points and roll on the playoffs. My concern is, like many, what happens when the season is finished? Will Bowyer still be here? Will we have a squad next season to compete, whatever league we're in? I will still continue to go like the rest of us, and you and the boys in the studio, excuse me, but I really can't see the Rat selling, and especially can't see him dropping his price. It's madness that Bowyer has not got a contract offer. Well, a decent one anyway. And if he goes, most will probably follow him out the door. One game left, and this is not sorted. An absolute joke. Yeah. Hard to disagree much of that, is it?
No,
really?
No, Dan's spot on, really. And I mean, it's got to a stage where... every Thursday we come in and something else, excuse me, is something happening, or the contract's not be good enough and you're worrying about what it's going to be like at the end of the season. But it's for me now, I'm just trying to park it to one side at the moment and try to put all the focus and energy into the upcoming games. As much as it is concerning, I just think we just need to go with Bowes and just put it all into the last couple of games and worry about cross that bridge when it comes to it. But it's always going to be that sort of thing in the background of your mind that's going to be worried.
Well, I guess, though, I mean, if we can do it, if we can achieve something this year and get promotion, I'm not sure it would, actually. I'm just trying to think myself before I even answer the question or ask the question. Would we be better off being a basket case club in the Championship or a basket case club in the League One where we could go down to League Two?
Well, exactly. And I think it'll all depend on if we do go up. If he is still here, what is he going to do with the squad? Because there's no offence to the current squad. We will need a few players to push on.
I think what I'd like to say, and I think the way we are fortunate, we all get a little bit of a view behind the scenes and the way Bowyer talks post-match and all that sort of stuff. It seems to me that because he has no interest, the owner, at all, and even his oppos that come over twice a week or however long it is, don't really have any day-to-day running as such. So what he says, here's a pot, here's X amount of pounds or euros or whatever it is, or seven Smarties and a sherbet dib dab, whatever it is,
decent.
Here it is, that's what you've got to deal with. No more, no less, you buy or work within that.
Yeah.
And then that's down to you then. I don't want nothing to do with it. Don't come and ask me for more. Don't come and ask me more. Unless you sell somebody, then maybe. But other than that, that's all you got. That's what you deal with. So whoever's the manager, and let's hope it is Lee Bowyer, and let's hope Johnny Jackson's still here, and all the others, Steve Gallen. Let's hope that the miracles that he's worked this year, he can continue to do with probably a lesser pot than he's got now next season.
Yeah, I think, and also if we do go up, we'll have this imaginary pot of whatever, 8 Smarties or whatever you said.
Sure, but you're too young for that.
Oh yeah, I remember those. One of the little licorice things in it.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, see, I'm not that young, mate.
Perhaps they were just selling them longer than I thought.
But yeah, I mean, I think if the likes of Cullen and Billick, they're going to be key.
They're not going to be here. Especially if we're in League One, they're not going to be here.
So I mean, even if we went up, they're sort of two players that you might be able to strengthen your hand a little bit, unless Arsenal and West Ham want them for the first team.
I think if we're in the Championship, Arsenal will let us keep yeah. Billick. I think Josh Cullen's got his eye on higher prize. I think, yeah. Especially if we don't. If we do go up, we got a chance.
Yeah. Won't be here, neither of them, if we're in League One. No,
absolutely
chance.
Not. No.
And again, I think quite a lot's widened on us going
up. But we might have the second Christian Billick from Arsenal or the next Josh Cullen. Do you know what I mean? So that's still possible given the confines of the pot. But it depends how small that pot of money becomes.
Yeah.
If the budget's going to be slashed 50%, who knows what we've got to deal with.
But that's what I mean. So if we go up and he slashes the pot by 50%.
Yeah, but then the incomings are a little bit more. You get money generated from TV, et cetera, et cetera.
But Leeds won't be on the telly.
Yeah, if Leeds go up, we won't be on the telly. You know, at least we'll be on the telly a bit more, because they won't be there.
We'll be on there twice.
But it looks like they're doing their best to muck that up. Who knows? I mean, the hope is obviously, I know Mr. De Turk said it in the fans forum meeting, that he expects to be gone by June, but we've heard that before, haven't we? Maybe the pressure, I don't know if you know the situation that Card actually have gone to the Belgium embassy, well done them by the way, to put pressure from different angles. And I think that's genius, actually. You know, I mean, it's the sort of thing that it's thinking out the box a little bit, and I think that may be where we've got to continue to do.
Yeah, I think if putting that sort of pressure on from all the different avenues that they've gone down, because obviously they're all clued up, card, and you know, you look back and you hope that those little bits of pressure do try and force his hand a little bit more, because he's come out before and said that it was the worst mistake he's ever had or something along those lines. Don't quote me on that, but and one day he's going to have to go at some point. Something's got to give. And one day it probably will. I honestly think it's a case of when and not if.
Oh, no, I'm certain that's true as well.
But yeah, I'm still hoping for June, but I've said loads of times.
But you're not saying the year, are you? You're just hedging your bets on the year.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is.
I hopefully, you know, I'm still alive when it happens, but.
You look at me like that.
But no, listen, I just don't, not trying to get involved with all the rumours and stuff. It happens when it happens, but. It's disheartening, especially how we're doing so well and how great we could be if Bose was given.
Look,
something.
let's try and continue the positive vibes that are around the place,
exactly,
and say, look, with what's going on, let's turn this on its head a bit, I suppose. With what's going on, the fact that we're even sniffing close to this thing is remarkable. Let's just follow the wave, shall we? Let's ride on it as long as it takes us. And I think there's been already a couple of tweets, and Bose mentioned it a few times himself. It's clear to us when we're doing the commentary. You asked a question earlier on about could you hear us?
Yeah.
Where we were, yes.
Oh, good.
Comfortably, yes. Probably bad for you because you didn't have a roof, so it didn't echo around inside. But comfortably noisier than home fairs. I mean, we were over a quarter of the capacity, which we of the attendance that was there yesterday, and we've had some away following that's just been rocking in the last few months, and it's been brilliant. I mean, when you consider what's going on, it's just phenomenal for me. Mm. And great to see. I mean, it'll take a long time for that Wickham away following and the noise created from that to get out of my head, I think. It was just superb. And so if we can recreate that in the playoff away leg, we'll be all right.
Yeah, definitely.
So we got. I mentioned briefly about that visit to the Belgium embassy that Cardin and Matt Wright let us know all about that. A senior official at the Belgium embassy apparently is going to raise concerns about the activities of Charlton under owner Roland de Châtelet with the Belgian government and public officials. Councillor Alan Leroy, who reports directly to the Belgian Consul General in the UK, hosted a delegation from the Coalition Against Roland de Châtelet on Wednesday, April the 17th, at the embassy in Belgravia, which sounds posh. He listened closely to the card representatives outline the actions of his countrymen were harming the club, I should say, its supporters and its wider community, as well as attracting widespread ridicule in the media across the football industry. And a card spokesman said that they were very impressed that Mr. Leroy was so well informed, which shows how much attention the actions of our owner have generated beyond the football world. He had a good knowledge of the situation apparently at Charlton, particularly with regards to the issue of the unpaid staff bonuses and Châtelet's recent bewildering rant demanding that the EFL buy the club from him. I'm not sure I'd want the EFL to buy us, and not given their current status. Anyway, leave that. Among the issues highlighted were the possibility of further protests against Châtelet in Belgium if he fails to deliver on his commitment to sell the club announced 15 months ago. Oh, that sounds even more depressing when you say that. And that these protests are unlikely to be restricted to St Troyden, where his hometown is. The representatives also assured Mr Leroy that the coalition had nothing to do with the graffitiing of premises linked to de Châtelet earlier this year, and no knowledge of who was responsible, but explained how it would not be a surprise if other groups took an increasingly militant approach should de Châtelet remain at Charlton. And that's an interesting point, actually. I mean, most of the time, all our protests, or the protests, I shouldn't say, the protests have been top notch and well within the constraints of the legal requirements. Mm. But it doesn't take long for this. You know, if this carries on, we saw the idiot yesterday, or heard the idiot yesterday, just in the minute silence. It just takes a few people with a slightly more different approach to just take it over the edge, and none of us want that to happen. Although the Belgian embassy is unable to interfere in private matters, it said, Leroy noted the concerns expressed to him and pledged to report back to the relevant authorities in Belgium, which include government officials, the regional authorities and the police. A card spokesman added, no one is in any doubt that de Châtelet needs to go, including de Châtelet himself. But it's almost a year and a half since he said he was willing to sell up, and he's still here there, despite numerous interested parties. It's high time he set a realistic price and sold the club, which would be a relief to everyone concerned. And our thanks to Matt Wright for sending that information in. But again, it just shows the genius that that we have at this club, that you know they can do something like that. And you know, we've tried, or Card have tried, and fans have tried a number of things. And it's clear, I think, that the stuff in Belgium is the stuff that tends to resonate more than anything.
Yeah, I think, and then I'll just go back on what you said about Card. That, you know, all the protests that have happened, they've obviously been absolutely fine, been within, like you say, with restraints of the law, and it's been fine. But you will get some people who will take it to the extremes, and you know, you're never going to get away from that, unfortunately.
Right, just gone 8 o'clock. We'll be back with more of your thoughts, and then we'll look ahead. I know we're going to do that Thursday anyway, but we'll look ahead to what's coming up, and we'll talk about the women's result at that place.
Williams exchange passes. Williams drifts past his man, born in the box. It's an awkward one. Taylor controls. Taylor trying to pass it back to Prattley. He strikes!
Oh, my word! Taylor Prattley! What a strike from the Charlton midfielder on the edge of the box. Touchdown by Lyle Taylor. And Darren Prattley unleashes a hell of a strike past Arnold down to his left. Could do nothing about that one.
There we are. Yeah, welcome to Charlton Live. We're live on Maritime Radio. And we're here for the next, just short of 30 minutes or so left of the show. If you want to get your tweets and your emails and your posts on the Charlton Live forum, then you've got about 30 minutes to do exactly that. We've had one more tweet. This is from Charlton Till I Die 70. Shame about Fosu. Would be great to have him on the bench, but doesn't like being dropped, so bye. You know, I don't think anybody should like being dropped. I think anybody who likes being dropped shouldn't be anywhere near the squad anyway. You know, I always like, you know, when you see players come off and they do that throwing the socks and throwing their shin pads and all that. And I want to see that. Mm. I want to see people being upset at taking off. Yeah. You don't want them skipping off, do you? Oh, thanks very much. I've had enough.
Bet my money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree. You like it, but to an extent where they're not disrespecting the manager.
No, obviously that. Yeah.
But I think, you want someone to, if they've been dropped and they understand why they've been dropped. So if it is, let's say it is, you know, the way that we're playing, is that the players are trying to improve their position. Like, if say Marshall had to play a lot more narrow in a central position, is he working on the attributes to get him in that sort of position? They're the things that you want to see. And if they're not, then they're never going to play. And then that's it's football, you know. There's no room for sympathy sometimes. You either you get games, you don't you?
Well, I think we can safely say that Lee Bowyer, Johnny Jackson and the management team aren't ones to play people out of sympathy. No. They're going to play the team that they think is going to do the job and the best players available. Simple as that. Exactly. We've been rumbled, by the way.
Oh, right.
Southwest Addicts has put on the Charlton Live forum. Even the Charlton Live crew are getting in the act and starting resting people for the playoffs. Resting Louis for the playoffs is what we're doing. Because you've heard him commentate, haven't you? He screams. Yeah, can't stand it.
What was that one he'd done the other day?
I can't stand it when people do
on a BBC London replay. I can't remember what game it was. It was absolutely hilarious.
Well, anyone.
Oh, the Luton one, yeah.
Yeah, conveniently couldn't record my bit for that. So
that's what we had to mix and mash it, wasn't it? So, yes, it's amazing that can get your one, Tell.
Oh, by the way, I might have to out Greg.
Why?
Well, because he's actually got all six goals. The last six goals.
Oh, I said that.
He's done
Thursday,
every single one.
Yeah, I was going to say Thursday, the Scunthorpe one. Yeah. I'm sure
he had all four of Scunthorpe and he had the two yesterday. I'm not having that.
Well, it might be a complex, mate.
Yeah, no. How did you catch your disease? Can I give it to him, Jerry?
Just... Oh my God!
Oh, he's talked. anyway, he goes on Southwest Addicts to say yesterday was a stroll with Gillingham barely threatening a shot against us. Aribo and Cullen showed their class throughout, but big credit to Prattley and Lapsley who came in and both played really well. Happy to play anyone in the playoffs, and I'm confident that we can beat anyone over two legs. Portsmouth for logistical and cost reasons. Same with you, Nath. Absolutely ridiculous that Bowyer hasn't been offered a proper contract here. Marshall has failed to deliver in the last two seasons. He's given his all, but just simply isn't good enough at right wing, and probably third or fourth choice right back isn't needed. So still hoping Fosser will get another year, as there's definitely a player in there, and it might mean that there's not enough budget to keep Josh Parker. I'm sadly thinking it might be the other way around, if I'm honest, but thanks, my friend. I appreciate that. Concur with most of your points. I just get the feeling that the reason that the likes of... I think I've got a feeling... And I don't know this for sure. Most people might think that because I know something, and it's not true. But I get the feeling that they thought they were going to be going in January, and the fact that they haven't. Because if you look at how they figured beforehand, and they were on the fringe beforehand, since the January transfer window, hardly at all, I think. And I'm wondering if, you know, the head's gone because they really thought they were going to go. And I think Boga genuinely thought, well, I haven't got cover. I can't. You know, we had a bad enough situation with losing Carl and Grant and not getting a decent replacement. So I can't lose another two without getting decent replacements. And I think since then, just they've not been there.
Yeah, they've not been. And nothing, you know, the players that have played, they've played extremely well. And I think if it's not broken, don't fix it. I think everyone's playing to a man. Everyone knows the system. I think if you try and squeeze, I harp on about the system, but if we do say play that 4-4-2 diamond narrow, where is Marshall going to play? Where's Fosu going to play? He's not a number 10, is he? He's not a forward. So where is he going to... He might be able to play. I know sometimes we flit into going to those two, where Johnny goes out wide or maybe... But they're inside forwards. They'll always drift in. And I know Fosu can, but I don't know. I mean, the game work that we done up at Coventry on Boxing Day stuck out for me. Like, the ball wasn't sticking. He played quite central there and it just wasn't working. But... Like I said, there's no room for sympathy, and if you're not doing the job, you're not playing.
Yeah, there's one team I'm pleased we're not going to get in the playoffs.
Coventry. Only team to do a double, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they just seem to have it over us. Going up there, I mean, it's a nice little ground. It's not little, actually, isn't it? But a nice
I was going to say, it's Wasps, isn't it?
And it's probably the last time we're ever going to get a chance to commentate unless we start doing rugby. So I'm pleased we're not having to go up there, or they're coming here, because they just seem to have
We're 1-0 up like 5 minutes ago,
shocking, isn't it? Barry has tweeted on Charlton Live as well. Boya and his team have been treated disrespectfully and deserve to be offered good deals as soon as possible. Hopefully when they sign, you'll see some of the players commit to contracts as well. This does require the Belgian to realise he'll have to pay the going rate for these people or we will lose them. Don't want to play Sunderland in the playoffs due to the travelling distance, but we'd be happy to play them at Wembley final. Think with a fit squad and a squad and a decent referee, we can beat anyone and get promoted. Don't talk to me about them. Has been great this season to see the fans and team pulling together, and just hope the current feel-good factor isn't ruined by a loss in the playoffs or lack of investment in the coaches and team. I think that's the one thing, and thanks, Barry Borrowin. The one thing that is niggling in the back of my mind, I've been to Wembley twice. We won one and lost one. It's a horrible place to be when you don't win. Yeah. It's a fantastic place to be when you win.
It's a long way home.
But it's just a horrible place. I mean, it's only the Full Members Cup final. There was only like 50 of us.
The what?
Yeah, exactly. The old Carabao Cup as well.
And what was it called?
The Full Members Cup final. We lost to Blackburn 1-0.
What year was that?
1920 something. No.
I was going to say, I thought it was 1892.
No. When was it? When was the Full Members? 80.
The Full Members Cup?
Yeah.
I've never heard that in my life.
It was 87-ish, I think. I can't remember. I'm trying to think. I mean, lost to Blackburn. Stephen Hendry in the header.
Stephen Hendry?
Yeah. In the Full Members Cup final.
Oh, yeah. I think
that was when we were playing at that place. And one of the rounds was in the fog, and there was about 20 of us there.
Yeah.
It was one of those sort of things. A horrible thing. But we still went to Wembley. It was a day out. We lost. I've never felt so depressed. It's horrible. Winning, however... you'll remember that one.
I was 11, yeah.
11.
Yeah. Shut and up. My old man gave me a fiver for every goal and penalty we scored.
Did he?
That's not a lie, yeah.
Oh, man, I bet you're still paying, isn't he?
No, literally. I remember. I bought loads. Do you remember Pogs?
Yeah.
That's why I spent all that money on Pogs.
Did you?
Yeah. Crazy, isn't it?
Yes.
And sweets,
we're
as you can tell.
We're going to have sweets I'll let you get away with. Pogs.
Yeah, mad.
Oh, dear. Did your dad have a Pogs franchise or something?
So no.
He was quite happy to give you the fiver because he knew he was getting it back.
The worst thing was, because I spent it all on Pogs, you know what I got for Christmas? A Pog making machine. This is no lie. Honest God. Because he gave me all the money, so I would spend it on, thinking I was going to have like, new trainers. No, Pogs.
I need to meet your parents.
Well, he's me a Wolf fan, isn't he? So.
No, then I don't. Briston Addict, thanks, mate, added to the Charlton Life Forum. We'll be asking you a few things as well. Who would you like to face in the playoffs? Don't care. We're in good form. Being realistic, have been resigned to the playoffs for some time. The other teams will either be disappointed that they've missed out on autos, or in the case of Donny and Posh, probably Donny, would be in the same position as us last year, having only clinched their spot in the final weekend. We've nothing to fear. We can beat all of them. Shambles only to this about Bowyer's contract. Shambles only to be expected with this short-term regime. Lord Bowyer should be able to name his terms, given the miracles he's worked this year. And on Tariq Fosu and Mark Marshall, no one know in that order. In Lord Bowyer we trust. Cheers, my friend. I even asked the question again for no reason at all at the beginning. Yeah, I mean, that's the point about the playoffs, isn't it? You'd hope, anyway, that's the hope we cling to, that whoever above us that ends up in the playoffs are going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of teams will want to play us, for sure. But like you said earlier, I think to go up, you're going to have to beat two of them. So, and I think on our day, we can beat anyone. But then at the same time, probably on Sunderland, Portsmouth and Donny's day, they can beat anyone as well. So everyone's in the top six for a reason. So it's going to be tricky, whatever happens. But I think on our day, we could...
I mean, breaking them down, let's take them one by one. Luton, probably been the toughest game. Luton and Barnsley, I guess, away from home, both away from home, were the toughest two games we've played, I think, out of the top four that are there. Mm. But we still got something out of Luton, eventually. And then we did them at home, albeit without their top striker. Barnsley would worry me because they are a very good side, especially on the break. Mm. Footballing-wise, I think Barnsley would be the side that I'd be scared about, purely in terms of football ability. Mm. In terms of the other two, Portsmouth and Sunderland, I think for me, I think I'd actually prefer Sunderland in the two-leg thing because we've beaten Portsmouth twice. The law of averages says they might do it once. So, and the fact that we're Sunderland and we've drawn twice and we should have beaten them both times, hopefully that gives us the edge. And Sunderland will certainly be disappointed that they haven't gone straight up. They'll have a big following, but that creates its own pressure for me. Portsmouth's away following is decent and they don't tend to get on their team's back. I don't think so. For me, it doesn't matter in the final. I'm not bothered. But in the semis, if we had to have a choice, I'd probably actually pick Sunderland.
I think in the final,
regardless of the distance.
Yeah, I think so. In the final, it's weird because I was thinking like who I'd won in the final, blah blah blah. But I think form goes out the window in a final. It's 90 minutes, 11v11, and it's whoever manages the game better and who keeps get themselves composed the most. But
Christian Billick with all that space in at Wembley, that's what I'm looking at.
Well, yeah,
all that space to run into.
Exactly. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, even though logistically it's going to be a pain and we'll probably have to fly there, I would agree to an extent.
Still talking about flying?
Yeah, no, baller. But yeah, no, I agree.
How much
do
you sell them pogs for?
Hey? Well, do you want some? I've still got a machine.
Well, no, if you can resell them, yeah.
But yeah, I know what you're saying. But I think with the Barnsley game, it was weird because that first half they blew us away. But didn't we have like a bit of an injury problem? Like Pearcey
early
doors.
It wasn't a great. Yeah. I wouldn't say great. That's probably disrespectful. But no, we had our problems.
First half,
we couldn't live with them
the first
half out.
And they scored that screamer, Tiam, didn't he? Yeah. But yeah, I think Barnsley would be. Yeah, that I would fear him. I think, and I was thinking about it now, if someone said it on the messages in earlier about the pressure that it will probably create, especially if they're at home and if we get an early goal.
I've got to say, if you're talking about teams being disappointed, if Luton don't go up automatic and end up, man alive, they're going to be.
Barnsley win their last game. Pompey win their two, which Pompey have got. Have they got quite an easy one? They've got Peterborough and
Fleetwood is one of them, I think.
Yeah.
From memory. I think they've got to play Fleetwood.
Luton have got Oxford, and Oxford they've got one of the best forms.
Yeah, Sunderland have got to play
Oxford
on Tuesday. That's their game.
So Robbo could have a little say in the little race, couldn't he? Which I'm sure he's relishing.
The final games of the season. Let's go through them. Doncaster are at home to Coventry, who are no longer in it now. Yeah. Barnsley away to Bristol Rovers. Portsmouth are at home to Accrington. Sunderland are away to Southend. So Luton, actually, I mean Oxford. If Oxford can do something at Luton, you'd expect Sunderland to blow away Southend.
And who's Sunderland got on Tuesday? Sunderland got Fleetwood,
Sunderland have
didn't
got,
they? And then Pompey, Peterborough.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Both of those are correct.
That's what I mean. So I think Peterborough seem to have lost their heads. They lost 3-0 to Walsall. So I think you'd think Pompey will win that. Yeah. I still think Pompey will go up.
I agree, actually. I've been saying it for a while.
And if Luton finished third after that. When we beat them, I saw Luton fans at the station and I said, do you reckon we'll go up automatic? I was like, mate, you've got it signed, sealed, delivered. Shows how wrong it can be after a couple of games, isn't it?
Interesting times. Final Foreign Post for now, actually, from Coops. Evening, gents. Good win yesterday. Think we'll finish fifth and Sunderland in the playoffs. Portsmouth at Wembley and win that. As for Bowyer, think Roland is waiting for an outcome of the playoffs before the contract situation is resolved. Bit of a worry. As for the takeover, who knows? Best wishes, Gary Cooper from Woolwich. I think part of that might be because Bowes has pretty much come out and said he wants to stay here. He loves the place, and I think his affiliation with the fans proves that, and affiliation with the club. So I think maybe there's that. I'm clutching at straws here, by the way. Maybe there's that. It doesn't really matter how long it takes because he wants to stay anyway. And as long as it's not a worse contract than what he's got, it should be better. But as long as it's not worse. And as for linked to performance, good Lord. Well, because wasn't the rumour, was it, that it was linked to budget performances? So if he was able to slash the wage bill by 50%, he'd get a bonus.
What was his new role be? Chief executive /manager? Or interim manager or whatever he wants to call him that.
Well, it'd be everything, wouldn't he? Because, by the way, there was the news that was also on the Charlton Life Forum earlier on. I think Ben Hayes put it on, that BetDeck. The company that owned BetDeck are going to stop the sponsorships of all football. Which means we're going to need a new shirt sponsor.
Belgian Waffles or something.
But who's going to sort that one out? Bowyer, yeah, exactly.
Please.
Yeah.
That's what you pay to do, mate.
It'll be his fishing place in France. That'll sponsor us.
But yeah, I don't know, it's mad. But yeah, let's hope he gets it all sorted eventually.
Well, we're coming up to the last knockings of the show. It's gone massively quick this evening. And we're going to mention the CFC women's team, who were sterling performance, by the way. And before we go into today's game, the season itself, narrowly missing out, getting beat by Tottenham last week was the final nail in the coffin for the automatics. I'm not sure how Tottenham have done today. It would have kept us in with a shout, but... whether we'd have had to rely on Tottenham dropping further points. But Charlton went today and went over to that place in Croydon and won 4-1. A quality result. Sarah Eggers-Vick, I hope I got that right. Kit Graham, Eliza Dupuy and Lily Egg, the scorers at Selhurst Park. A thumping victory. And that would have been quite sweet, because isn't there a few ex-Charlton players now playing for Palace, I believe. So that would have been doubly sweet. To go there and tonk Palace 4-1 is not a bad shout at all. And it finished... It means the season... Basically, they've got one more game left, is that it? You know, they've got one more game left against Leicester City. Currently, Charlton are fourth on 36. Durham, third on 39. Tottenham ladies on 42. It could have been possible had Charlton beaten Tottenham. It looked likely for a while. They're 2-0 up, weren't they? To clinch that second place alongside Man United. And when you look at the form guide, Man United haven't lost a game in the last five, but Charlton only lost a couple. Actually, Sheffield United have been on a bit of a rampant run, but Tottenham have lost two as well. So it was possible for a while, but concentration now, I suppose, goes to next season. They can build on what they've done this season. Then there's a decent possibility, if they can keep the squad together, that there'd be enough. I don't know who's coming down from the top league. Something we can talk about going into the next season and maybe even next week after the. I don't know when the final game is actually. I don't know if it's next week or the week after actually. I think because it's Bank Holiday weekend next week, isn't it? I think, from memory. If you want to answer that, you can. But we'll talk about this season. Maybe we'll get some people from the women's team on and get an assessment. Their assessment. I mean, they're going to be disappointed.
Yeah,
because it's just missing out, which it is.
Yeah,
it's going to be a blow. But they've got to look back and think for a first season in the top flight or second top flight is a decent achievement to get fourth, I think, or maybe even third, depending on how the results go.
I think Tottenham got two games left, which is against Durham in third and Villa. So it's very likely that Tottenham will go up second. But like you said about United, they scored 93 goals and conceded 7. And they've had a lot of money pumped in as well. So I don't think...
A huge amount.
Yeah, I don't
they're
think you could ever...
I think they're full-time full-time contracts.
Exactly. And obviously, the Charlton ladies can't really compete with the sort of money that's been pumped in. So like you say, to be finished fourth is a huge achievement from the girls, obviously, with Tiche and the team. So obviously, they'll dust themselves down and obviously take massive sort of plaudits and stuff, rightly so, for the season. Obviously, they can go into... next season in good stead, and obviously hopefully it's one better next year.
I suppose the one bonus is that Steve Adamson didn't buy a celebration pair of shoes. Anyway, we're going to a break and back for the final few minutes. Now
touch from Solly. So Solly wins the ball and then stabs it forward. Grant's going to put Turner under pressure. Turner, an experienced defender,
no
goes
way.
Down, but no way, a foul. And Grant's got away and burst into the penalty area. Switch it across and oh, there! And Turner scored in front of the away fans. It was Grant up against Turner. Turner went down, claiming a free kick. It definitely wasn't. Grant burst into the penalty area, fired the ball across the six-yard box, and there was Lyle Taylor for his third league goal of the season to knock it in past Mark Oxley and the Addicts in a scrappy opening 12 minutes in the second half of taking the lead. Every time I move, every step that I take, everywhere I look, it's right in front of my face. One foot in the shadows, one foot on the brakes. Can't shake this voice that keeps calling my name every step that I take.
So yeah, back on Charlton Live on Maritime Radio 96.5 FM, and we're into the last, I don't know, 7 minutes or so of the show. We should mention now, actually, probably best to do it now, there's no live show next Sunday because of the Player of the Year dinner. And we're all going to be schmoozing. No, we're not. But we are going to be there. We're going to take some audio from that to get some loads of interviews. And then basically Louis is going to be up until 2 o'clock in the morning putting it all together for the best podcast ever.
Yeah, and singing.
Oh, no.
New
really?
York, New York by Frank Sinatra.
With that voice.
Yeah. Great, wasn't it? It was Taylor Barry White.
With a dish, yeah. Eartha Kitt, more like.
I don't know. No, you don't know. Laugh,
Google it. Be careful of the images, though.
Oh, okay.
With the odd cough thrown in as harmonies. So, no show next Sunday because of the Player of the Year dinner, but there will be a huge podcast on that very thing coming up after. Speaking of Player of the Year, have you voted?
Yes.
And?
Are
you allowed to say it's not?
So okay, no. I've got bias. So I voted two.
Did you?
Yeah,
because
you can do it twice if you get it on the thing. So I voted for Lyle and Dills.
They're both good shouts. I don't know why you were reserved about that.
No, I know, because I know Dills only played since January, but I think he's done amazing.
That's cool. I've got no problem with that. I was torn at mid. If Christian Billick had played a full season, I think he'd have been close.
Yeah.
But I went with Lyle Taylor. I think it's going to be difficult.
You've got the three, haven't you? I think you've got Josh in there as
Josh
well.
Josh would have been. Again, if it hadn't been for that injury for Josh, I think he'd have been very close as well. But Nabs, given.
I think a lot of people
absolutely,
go
yes. Yeah. I think it. You know, it's going to be a difficult choice, I think, from my part. I've got a sneaking suspicion of Lyle Taylor, legend.
Yeah,
but
I think so.
Let us know if you want to let us know in advance who you voted for. You can do. No problems at all. We'll mention that. A few minutes left on the rubbish grounds, by the way.
Right, okay.
I mean, I've seen a few more than you, I think. Cause rubbish ones I'm talking about, not generally football grounds, because back in the day they were considerably worse than they are now. You think Wimbledon's current ground is bad? You should have seen Plough Lane.
Oh, really?
Oh, man alive.
Oh, man.
And to be fair, when I'm talking about toilets, the old Valley toilets weren't brilliant either.
Before
they knocked them down and put them up again. Well, they weren't toilets, basically. You just peed on your shoes. That's pretty much how it worked. And that was just the women.
Lovely. Any bowls of soup in them ones?
Oh, it could have been. Wouldn't have known.
Could have seen through all the smog.
There's no way you'd have found out.
All the smoking. That's what I remember from Charlton toilets, were smoking in them, weren't they?
Still do, by all accounts. So if you've got your list, and we can run this for a while, so if we don't get enough time to read your efforts out this week, we'll do it in weeks to come. But the worst one that springs to mind, Plough Lane was up there, with one of the worst, in terms of just being horrible to get to. And obviously Sellers Park, with just generally to get to, horrible when you get in there. Millwall away in the Old Den was pretty rough, because you couldn't see anything because they stuck you behind a floodlight pylon. Actually, the old South End, before they did it up, if you were unlucky enough to get there late.
If they did it up?
Yeah, no, they have done it up, exactly, yeah. Well, you know, you're talking about Lego stands. You know the little squishy stand at the end where the home supporters sit?
Yeah.
That wasn't a stand. That was just a terrace before.
Yeah.
And it kept going down.
Really?
Yeah, so the brick wall that was in front of it, if you were unlucky enough to not to get there soon enough, you paid and you physically couldn't see anything unless they were 20 yards in front of you.
Was Southend the one when Brett had to go up the ladder and had to jump the Krypton Factor? Was that or was that Accrington?
That might have been, I don't know. They threatened to make him do it at Portsmouth, but he bottled out. Actually, mate, they gave him the harness and everything to go up this Jacob's leg or outside the stand. He went, no, not a chance. I ain't doing it. I don't think he'd have got up, because it's like an hole, isn't it?
Yeah.
A ladder with a frame around it.
Yeah,
he'd never
get it off his back, wouldn't
he? I don't think he was getting in it. So, bless
him.
I'm
glad you said that.
Well, I can say that because, look. In terms of atmosphere, no, I'm not talking about atmosphere for worse grounds. I'm just facility generally. Maybe it's because we always lose there. And Priestfield would have been up there for that reason alone.
Yeah, I think. Oh yeah, Gillingham's up there. I think AFC Wimbledon's there because it's just a bit of A, there's no beer, you can't have any beer around the ground, and it's just a bit of a meh place. Bristol Rovers, it's a shame because I like Bristol as a city, but it just felt like a school playground because you had those little steps in the corner, you can't really see a lot, and then you've got stands that are actually marquees, and there's about eight of them. I don't know, it's just a bit weird, but I think, yeah, Wimbledon, Gillingham and Bristol Rovers, I won't be rushing back to go there. I'm trying to think if I've been any worse ones. Nice ones, I like. I'll tell you what I did, though. I enjoyed Accrington. That was nice.
Even I missed out on Accrington because I was away.
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, they didn't have that new stand, but that was a nice little vibey place. Rochdale's nice. Nice little.
Yeah, no, I like Rochdale. You're right.
So, yeah, I mean, you've got a couple of nice ones in there, but I think those three stick out for me off the top of my head. And then apart from that, obviously, when I first started coming, we were in the, obviously, Championship and Premiership, so I can't really go.
Well, fingers crossed we get a season where our level of rubbish grounds goes up a bit. So
if we don't go up, we've got Ipswich, which they'll charge us about 50 quid.
Yeah, exactly, 50 quid, and it'll be on a Tuesday night, you know. Yeah.
But, yeah, no, those three stick out for me. But, yeah, yesterday, it was just weird. It didn't feel safe at all. But it just, I don't know, like Meccano set or whatever. But, and it was just, I don't know, it was just grey.
I've got a question, actually. You know that temporary stand they got there?
Yeah.
It isn't the one that we had when we moved in here first time, is it?
What, it's Gillingham's one?
Yeah, because well, obviously we had
one. It down and put it up
because it was just a temporary stand that goes to places. Mm. And it went to Gillingham and supposedly for like 6 months and it's been there like 20 years.
It's rusty. Yeah. Like, there's bits of rust on it.
I wouldn't have wanted to be at the back of that, especially in that wind, I'm telling you. But obviously we had one when we first came back to the Valley, what is now the West End, was temporary seating.
Really?
So it must have gone somewhere. Obviously, they changed the colour of the seats.
They took it. Well, we can moan at them. We take their fans. They take our stands.
No, I think we might have sold it to them. I don't think, I think it was rented, so I don't think it was ours technically. But I'd be interested to know if anybody knows where that went, if it wasn't Portsmouth. Because it must have gone somewhere, mustn't it? Can't just lying around in the desert somewhere.
Like someone's back garden.
In a stand graveyard somewhere. Which is basically Wimbledon. Right, that's us done and dusted, pretty much.
That's flown by.
Yeah, that's flown by. You're right. My thanks, firstly, of course, to the Croak Master over to my left, Louis Mendes, for saying absolutely nothing and just twiddling knobs, and he found out he's quite good at it, so it's his future job. My thanks of course to Nathan Muller, thanks Nate for coming in,
much
appreciate
love.
It mate, and my thanks to me for doing this under extreme pressure,
but most, get the gaze
mostly, yeah, exactly, yeah, and the odd finger in the ear, but mostly my thanks to everybody for joining in and contributing. It's been our pleasure. We've been Charlton Live. Look forward to next Saturday and Rochdale, and bring on the playoffs. Take care. No.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.